Hey there, welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, John Spencer. I am a former middle school teacher and a current college professor who is passionate about seeing teachers transform their classrooms into bastions of creativity and wonder. So on this podcast, we explore strategies and tools and ideas to empower students with voice and choice. I also share some of those big epic fails that I've made along the way with the hopes that we can all learn together. Now, although we tend to focus on empowering students, I'm actually doing this summer series. This is the second one, and it's on this idea of empowering educators to own our own professional learning. I believe that empowered teachers empower students, and it really does have to start with our own professional learning. So that's what we explore, and that's what we're going to be looking into for the next couple months during this summer series. And today's episode is brought to you by Vux. Vux is a streaming library of ad-free, kid-safe, animated, read-aloud storybooks. It's trusted by teachers and enjoyed by millions of children around the world every single week. There's this entire library of storybooks brought to life to help encourage the love of reading. Now, I had a chance to take a look at these. I looked at the different books, and I gotta tell you, they are awesome. They have these beautiful illustrations and animations, and as you know, I love illustrations and animation, and it was the kind of thing that made me wish I had little kids again, because my kids are all in the adolescent age, but these are really cool. In fact, I showed them to my daughter, who's in the fourth grade, just finished the fourth grade, and you know what? She loved them as well and got kind of hooked into these and just fell in love with the stories. Vux is offering one free month subscription to all parents worldwide. There's no purchase necessary, and it's built to provide 20 minutes a day of read aloud and activities. They even have these really cool lesson plans that you could use at school as an educator or send home for parents or guardians. You can get started at Vux.com. You can check out the resources at Vux.com/resources. So go ahead and check it out. It's a pretty cool thing. Most of us have certain books that changed our lives. It might have been a work of fiction that shaped the way that you view the world, or it might be a teaching book that pushed your thinking and provided specific concrete strategies that you use in the classroom, or it might have been just a general nonfiction book that changed the way you think about motivation or creativity. But the core idea is that doing book clubs or book studies could actually be a with book clubs, each member has something to contribute to the conversation. While there is a shared mentor text, and you're certainly learning from that particular book, members also have the opportunity to, you know, learn from each other. This allows participants to have a deeper understanding of the book and its application to the teaching profession. Book clubs allow you to take a deeper dive into topics over time, in both an individual and a group setting. And that's one of the things I love about it, is it's deeply social, but it's also something that honors the way introverts work. While workshop sessions and conferences tend to have a larger overview of ideas, books tend to be more systematic and more elaborate. Book clubs can meet over several weeks, like you do a meeting every chapter. And this allows participants to sit with the ideas over time. This can lead to paradigm shifts that evolve over time rather than being something that's, you know, sudden and all at once. It also allows you to test out ideas or relate insights to your context over a long time frame. And I think that piece is what makes book clubs so special and so different. While many book clubs focus on education books, I have found it really helpful to do book studies around general nonfiction. For example, a group of us read the book Rest. You've heard me mention it several times. It's one of my favorite books. And it really changed my thinking on resting and thinking and divergent thinking and creativity. I was a member of this book club that focused on the lived experiences of people of color. We read memoirs and works of fiction as a group. And I think it's important to recognize that representation is key here. Our leader was a teacher of color who also was a professor that specialized in critical race theory, and she was specifically guiding the conversation. And we need to remember that, you know, if you're tackling a topic, you need to make sure you have some background information on it. And so if you are handling a topic like that, if you're taking a deeper dive into it, I would really encourage you to make sure that you're thinking about representation. I also think it's important that every group member is committed to reading the particular book that the book club chooses. I don't recommend doing a reading rotation where each person chooses a different book and then everyone has to read it. That just doesn't work well. People end up not reading books they don't want to read. And I have seen this over and over again. You're better off recruiting people to join the book club centered on one particular book and then selecting a new book and offering members the option to leave while also allowing new members to join. This helps prevent stagnation and groupthink by providing fresh perspectives. As now, I want to talk about the way that we, structure the book club discussions. And in particular, I'm thinking about the meeting location, for lack of a better term. There are four different formatting options that I want to explore before we get into the different ways to actually structure it. So the first format is an online format. An online book club is fully asynchronous. That means it's not happening in the moment. And it often uses tools like discussion forums, learning management systems, social media chats, or communication apps like Slack or Voxer or WhatsApp to discuss the book. It doesn't have to be text-based, right? Voxer is heavily audio-centric, and both Flipgrid and Marco Polo tend to be video-driven. The second way that the you could structure it, you know, the second format is a virtual format. And a virtual book club is fully synchronous. It typically involves a meetup at a time and a place using a video conferencing app. But it could also be a phone conversation, I suppose, if you can't do it via video conferencing. But typically, a virtual format is going to be using video. The third option is in person. Now, this one is at a specific time and location. It could be at a house, at a coffee shop. I love book clubs at a local brewery. You know, you talk about the book over a pint, over, you know, a couple of hours. If you're looking for professional development credit, you might have to meet at a school, which I think is less ideal, but that's another option. And then the fourth format is hybrid. A hybrid or blended version combines any of the previous three options all together, and you kind of blend those together to do something as you figure out the best way to meet. And now I want to talk about the specific ways that you can structure your book club. So I'm going to be sharing now four different ways to structure your actual book clubs. So option one is Socratic seminars. Here, this basically is very open-ended. Members meet in a circle, or more likely you're going to meet in an oval, because let's be real, circles are really hard to create. A perfect circle is almost impossible. Participants don't raise their hands. They don't call on names. There is no discussion leader. Each member can simply comment and ask follow-up questions to one another. This can be really empowering for participants, but there is a risk that certain people will dominate the conversation and quieter participants won't speak up. So you got to be really careful about this. These discussions are often free-flowing, and they move, you know, back and forth between ideas. But there is often a general structure. So I'm going to share the structure of a Socratic seminar. So you'll often start off with a mentor text. Some guiding questions might be, you know, what is the main idea? How is the text constructed? What are the facts the author is using to convey messages? What is the tone of the piece, biases, where do they exist? Can you find evidence to back up the main idea? What evidence might contradict it? What can we clarify about the text? And then you move into more open-ended questions like, what are your thoughts? What stands out to you? What do you agree with? What do you disagree with? How does the text relate to your life? Other times you might simply use the text as a backdrop for bigger driving questions. What is the purpose of blank? What's more important, this or this? What role does blank play in blank? You get the idea. And in this option, you'll cite the mentor text, but you're really going for more of a philosophical discussion. At some point, as a team, you will end up clarifying any ideas, identifying misunderstanding, paraphrasing key ideas, and this is how you end it. Are there any questions you have? Is there anything that still feels unsettled or unclear? What is a key takeaway for you? And you might even do a debrief after this where you answer questions like, what was it like for you? Do you feel understood? How did the group communicate? It gets kind of meta, right? But the bottom line is that this should feel very open-ended. In a typical classroom, you have a teacher talking and then they call on a student and the teacher paraphrases, then they go back to a student and they call on someone different. But a true Socratic seminar is much more interconnected. So if you drew a diagram of everyone talking back and forth, it would look like a complex web rather than the traditional way, which would look like a spoken wheel. So I don't know if a wheel with a spoke in the middle and, they're popping back out. Those are two different ways to sort of visualize this. The second option is mostly open-ended as well, and this is a graffiti wall. The graffiti wall can be done on a whiteboard or with a large sheet of butcher paper. Each member is given a marker that has and has a chance to process their insights by writing out their thoughts on the graffiti wall. In some cases, they might use arrows or dotted lines to connect ideas. They might even sketch out their own ideas visually with pictures, diagrams, or icons. Some book discussion graffiti walls begin with a giant blank canvas, and others have a big question, and then they sort of move from that guiding question out. So it's really up to you how you set that up. One critical component is that nobody is allowed to talk. The silence is a powerful aspect of this exercise. I found that it's helpful to have members paired up with a single marker per pair. This forces them to communicate silently, and it helps ensure that each person is actually reading as often as they are writing. They might, move into a more fluid way later if you want them to, but I really think having it timed creates a sense of structure that can really promote equity. Now, when this is all done, each member is asked a few guiding questions. Often you'll have a time where you just read the entire graffiti board silently. You might take 5 minutes or so. And then there's a debrief where everybody answers the questions out loud. And you might ask questions like, what stood out to you? What did you find thought-provoking? What trends do you see? What are some areas that we don't necessarily agree on? What are some areas of consensus? And this allows you to really debrief the graffiti board and the key insights that people are writing on that space. Now, a virtual variation of this is it could be done with something like Padlet. It could be something like a Google Doc. There's a lot of different ways that you could organize it in a more virtual session instead. Okay, the third idea is actually from Project Zero. And it's in this book, Making Thinking Visible. It's one of my favorite books on, visible thinking and thinking strategies. And this is called the Connect Extend Challenge. Connect is where you answer the question, how is the reading connected to something you know about? Extend is what new ideas or impressions do you have that extend your thinking about new directions? And challenge is what is challenging or confusing? What do you wonder about? If you're doing a book club, you can use these questions as larger guiding questions for each discussion. When I've used this structure for book clubs, I start out with going round robin, and each person shares their connections. As someone shares their connections, other group members are then able to add an idea or ask a clarifying question. When that person is done, it moves counterclockwise to the next person who shares their connections, followed by others. who, you know, add ideas and clarifying questions. And then once everyone's gone through Connect, they do the same process for Extend and then Challenge. And that's basically how the book club works. It's pretty structured, and each person is given the same amount of time. The conversations I found tend to be pretty free-flowing and open, which is great. But there is this aspect of timing it so that every person gets the same amount of time to share. And again, I really love that as a way of thinking through it from an equity perspective and guaranteeing that everybody has a voice. The virtual variation of this is that you could do it as a video conference, or you could have this on something like Voxer or Marco Polo, WhatsApp. You could have these as questions that they answer on a learning management system. There's a lot of different ways that you can do that. Option number four is to use structured questions. This is what we often think of as a book study. And this process begins with a study guide. Each member uses the study guide questions as they read the chapter. And if you're looking for examples, I have examples for the books I've written, Launch and Empower and Vintage Innovation. You can download those. But members use these study guides to journal, to think, or as a springboard for something like a sketch note. When they meet together, though, the group leader, you know, you designate one group leader, guides this discussion using the questions, and then there's often follow-up questions, clarifying questions, and the conversation begins to feel much more open and sporadic and nuanced. You don't necessarily have to go, you know, in a round-robin kind of way. And so those are the four different ways to structure a book club. The key thing is there's no one right way. In fact, you might use elements from each of those four and create your own hybrid version, and that's fine too. Ultimately, you know your book club the best, you know the people the best, and you know the book you're reading the best. And so I would encourage you to just play around with it and experiment and try something new. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Would you do me a favor? If you enjoy this podcast, would you leave a review on Apple Podcast or Stitcher or Spotify or wherever you get your podcast? That would mean the world to me. Again, thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day and go out and make something awesome.